Give him a hand clap of praise because he's worthy. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor according to your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. I apologize to Sister Southern. I did not get you my notes or my PowerPoint or my scriptures today, but it won't be hard to follow. This is not will not be a all-inclusive study tonight. Every time I think that I'm going to teach, I end up preaching. It just happens that way. So you just bear with me tonight. I'll do my best to not keep you long. I know that, is this the B group? I'd have to apologize to any of you guys. I kept the A group a little too long last week or over on Sunday, but we had a good time. Amen. But we'll make sure that we get you out of here tonight in a timely fashion. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject this subject has been discussed every direction that you could possibly discuss it. It's been discussed. It's been broken down. It's been dissected. It's just been all the way around taken apart. And that's the subject of prayer. I do not feel like that I have all the answers when it comes to prayer, but I do feel like that I've been that God has kind of dropped a seed in my spirit for the church for today. And there is no greater time for the church of the living God to understand the concept of prayer than right now. There's no greater time in our life and in the history of our country than right now for the church to understand the powerfulness of prayer. And prayer, when it's given its proper place, is the most effective tool that the church has in its arsenal. But yet today, sometimes, now remember, we're talking church globally, not just always church here at 210 West Vine Street, so remember that when I make these comments. It's not always a concept that's easily gone to in the Christian faith. It should be just like very second nature to us, but oftentimes it's very much not second nature to us. It's more like it's second, third, and fourth nature. It's something that I try at my very last wit. If I have nothing else to do, that's what I'm going to go to next is prayer. When realistically, when prayer is put in its proper place, prayer should be the number one thing that you go to first as a Christian. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you've been born in the blood, if you've got the blood of Jesus applied to your life, prayer should be the very first thing that you go to automatically. It should just be as natural as breathing for us, but sometimes it's just not. So tonight I want to talk to you about how to kind of bring it down into that place in our life where it is natural as breathing to us. In James chapter 5, I'll be reading out, it's James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, she's going to put the King James Version up on the screen for you to see, but I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. I think that it gives us a little more clarity on this scripture. In James chapter 5, verse 16, in the Amplified Version, it reads, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps and your offenses, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, is the dynamic and can have tremendous power." Now, when you look at it that way, it's hard to believe that the Christians of the name would have a problem going to prayer as their first recourse. But prayer oftentimes, like I said before, becomes that place where we just kind of hold it to the back burner. When realistically, God would rather it be right at the front of your forefront of your mind. If we really want to learn, if we really want to get close to God, that's how we're going to get close to God. It's not just reading His Word. It's not just living a Christian life. But realistically, prayer is what gets you close to God. Reading His Word is important. You need to understand that that's His written Word. It lives, it breathes. And but you need it coupled with prayer. If you have to pick and choose between reading your Word or praying that day, you better pray. You better get in contact with the author of the book before you do. If I have to make a decision, I'm going to go before them. I'm going to talk to the author first. Not taking away from reading the Scripture, but sometimes we need to put things in perspective in our minds. Sometimes in our walk with God, we tend to get things skewed a little bit. Sometimes they're just a little bit out of balance in our life. And I believe that God brings things, tries to send things in to kind of align us back up again. And one of those things that He uses is prayer. Prayer breaks the silence. There's nothing more uncomfortable than sitting in a room full of people and being in silence. If you'll notice, a lot of times whenever we're having problems with sound or we're having an audio-video problem, we're kind of waiting. That dead silence is a very awkward moment, not just for you, but for the people that are up here looking at you. Because you're waiting on something to happen, we're waiting on something to happen, and it's not happening. So that awkward silence period, prayer breaks that. There's nothing worse than God being silent in your life. There's nothing worse than having a relationship with God or stating that you have a relationship with God and there being silence. Prayer is the key that will unlock the door. If you're I've counseled countless people in the years of my ministry, and I've had people come to me invariably asking for prayer, asking for counsel about a job, asking about decision they're going to make, or asking for prayer on how to get from point A to point B and what they need to do when they get to point B. And it never fails. They come to the ministry looking for prayer. And that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray for you. But realistically, it's us, the people, us with the need that need to pray. Meaning that if you have a decision to make, you need to pray. You don't need to rely on your pastor, associate pastor, your care minister, your mom, your dad. It needs to be you that's praying. You're the one who breaks the silence between you and God. God is speaking. God is always moving. It's us who stop moving. It's us who stop moving towards Him. It has to be us who breaks the silence. I told you yesterday on Sunday, I told the group on Sunday, there is one thing that will separate you from the presence of God. Sin. Three-letter word, S-I-N, will separate us from God. The only thing in our life that will separate us from Him. The quickest way to get rid of sin is simply prayer, repentance. It's that simple. It takes the hindrances out of the way. It takes the blockage out of the way to where you have free communication between you and the Creator. So prayer indeed is the key that will unlock the door. It is indeed that mode of transportation between you and the Creator. Prayer breaks chains that nothing else will break. You have chains in your life? Prayer will break the chains of sin. Prayer breaks the yoke of sin in our hearts. If prayer does so many things, then why is it that we find ourselves pulling back from prayer? You come to a prayer meeting and what should be full, a house full, is a lot of times only just a handful. And I know everybody, we have to work, or people have, you know, different schedules. That's understandable. But you mentioned prayer and people back up. It's amazing when you see Christians back away from prayer. I'm talking Holy Ghost filled people, men and women of God, that back away from their prayer, their communicate, their lifeline. their only real connection to God. And realistically, it's just a conversation. We're too easily ready to let someone else take our place and say, well, the pastor is more qualified to pray over so-and-so because they're sick. The pastor's more qualified. No, he has the same Holy Ghost that you have. He has the same spirit that you have. He has the same connection to God that you have. God's still listening for you. He's listening to your voice just as much as he's listening to the pastor's voice. So why is it any different for him to pray for somebody versus you praying for somebody or me praying for somebody? It's just a simple fact that we've gotten used to the protocol. Oh, this is the time for prayer. Let the man of God come and lay hands on him, when that's not really what the church is designed for. The church is to be the hands and feet of God. And the last we checked, the body, this conglomerate people that we have in this room, are the church. So if we're going to say, well, I'm part of the church, then I have to be associated with part of the body. I have to allow myself to become part of the body. And becoming part of the body is doing the work of the body. So realistically, there's no one more qualified than you to pray. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the same Holy Ghost that I have, you're just as qualified as I am to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You're just as qualified as I am to lay hands on someone in a hospital and see them recover, or to lay hands on somebody and see them filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing spectacular. There's nothing that changes in me that doesn't happen in Brother Worthen. It's just the fact that who is going to be obedient? Who is going to be saying, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, send me. We're all about, Lord, send me, I'll go, until he says, he knocks on. You get the knock. You get the tug. And he's saying, it's your turn. Do you want to go? Or should I send another? We could very easily go into talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I love talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I love working in the gifts of the Spirit. But realistically, it's all about prayer. It doesn't just because this person works in a certain gift and this person doesn't, it doesn't mean there's any difference between them. It's the same Spirit, just different individuals. That same Spirit that works through Brother Worthen will work through Brother Pace. Maybe the same gift, maybe a separate gift, depending on what God needs at that moment. When we begin to allow ourselves to become so fluid with the Holy Ghost that at any moment God can speak to us and say, I need this, and you just become available. That's when God begins to pour out revival that's uncontainable in our life. That's when changes begin to happen in your own walk with God that you can't explain to anybody else. That you try to talk to them about it, but it's just, I just don't really have the words to put it into perspective. I know God's doing something. I can feel him doing something inside of me. I just don't know how to put it into words yet. Prayer can be classified as this, and it really is just this. It's a conversation. Nothing more and nothing less. A conversation. Oftentimes, the Bible refers to the conversation of the groom to the bride, with God to the church. That's translated down to us on a personal level. Let's talk about it on that level. Realistically, my prayer life should be no different than me talking to Brother Worthen about, we were just talking about his truck before service tonight. It was just a casual conversation we were having outside in the vestibule. It was nothing special about it. It was just two guys talking about trucks. We were both relaxed. I wasn't feeling anything uptight. I'm assuming he wasn't. We were just having a conversation. That's really what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation with the Creator. It's nothing spectacular. It's just as simple as talking to Him. As me talking to you right now is your prayer talking to God in the morning or throughout your day. That is how simple it really is. Prayer is not about time. It's about quality. God is not looking at His watch and saying, oh, well, you've only been here 5 minutes. It's time to go already. He's not doing that. I believe that once you start, let me say it this way, prayer is about consistency. If you want to do something, listen, hear me, saints of God. If you want to grow in the kingdom of God, you want your family to be consistent. You want your family to grow in the kingdom. Be consistent. Be consistent in what you're doing in the kingdom of God. Whether it's on a local level or it's on a global level, whatever you're doing in the kingdom, you need to be consistent at it. It's just like going to work every day. You go to work every, most of us that are adults in here, we go to work on at least 40 hours a week. Most of us work at minimum 40 hours a week. You're expected to be on your job at a certain time. You're expected to put in a certain amount of work for that day, and then you're expected to go home at a certain time. When they hired you, and you worked your first day, they just expected that you was coming back the next day. And the day after that, and the day after that. And when they gave you your first paycheck, they just assumed that you were coming back on that following Monday because you wanted another paycheck. That's our walk with God. When you show up and begin to pray with God, begin to talk to Him in the morning, that's really my opinion is that's the best time to start to talk with Him. Talk to Him before you talk to anybody else if you can do that. If you can't, that's okay. Make a point. Make us time. Do something. Put it in your calendar that this is time belongs to God. I'm going to spend 5 minutes in prayer. I can assure you that when you begin to do this and you show up tomorrow at 7 a.m. for prayer, using an arbitrary number. You show up tomorrow at 7 a.m. for prayer. On Friday at 7 a.m., God's waiting on you. He'll be waiting on you on Saturday at 7 a.m. Sunday, Monday, every day He'll be back waiting. It's not like you're going and looking for Him. He's there waiting on you to show up. He's excited to see you. He's excited to hear from you that day, that morning, however it may be for you to work it out. He's excited to hear from you, His child. Every day that you show up, you spend some quality time with Him, whatever time you can break out of your day, you begin to spend that time with Him consistently. It changes something in our life. It can't be explained. It can't be diagnosed. I'm telling you, out of my own experience, it changes something in you. The more time that you spend talking to the Creator, there's more of Him and less of you inside of you. I made this comment Sunday morning. I've begun to talk to Him throughout my day. Just little things. I'm a mechanic, sort of mechanic by day for my job. And I use this example Sunday morning, and I've done this many times. I dropped something, dropped a little nut or something I needed for work. I got to where I'm saying, Jesus, can you help me find that? You say, well, that sounds kind of immature and silly. It does. It really does sound silly. But it works. And I try my best every time when I find it, that component, whatever it was that I was looking for, I do my best to give him thanks for it. And it just sounds like, thank you, Jesus. Because every moment that I spend with him is less time that the enemy has to talk to me. Because I can assure you that the enemy of my soul and the enemy of your soul is waiting for the moment to talk to you every chance that he gets. The moment that you step away from God, he's right there. He's not missing a beat. The moment you step away from talking to the Creator, I can assure you the enemy is waiting to talk. If you're waiting to listen. If you're willing to listen, he's ready to talk about anything. Anything other than God. Anything other than what's right. We have to set aside a time in our day for prayer. Years ago, I had a young man that worked for me, and he was Muslim by his religion was he was a Muslim. Awesome young man. He's about 18 years old, and the day I interviewed him, I knew something was different about him. I just didn't really ask, and I didn't really think much about it. And he asked me, or he made it clear. He said he needed time to pray certain times of the day. And of course, when he opened the door, I had to go ahead and go in the door because I needed to know what he was talking about. I thought, you need time to pray? I didn't at that moment know that what religion he was. And then when he explained to me that he was Muslim and he had prayer times through the day, I said, okay, we can work around that. And at first it kind of bothered me. But then I felt a check in the Holy Ghost in my spirit. I felt God check me. He said, are you afraid that this young man might influence you? Were you afraid that you might not influence him? So I went ahead and hired the young man. He worked for me for a few months. And he was consistent. He did his job correctly. And his times of prayer, we had worked it out how he could go about that. But God began to talk to me when I was preparing for this message. And he said, you remember these times? This young man didn't even have the truth. Wasn't even praying to Jehovah. But he was faithful in what he was doing. He was faithful every day at the same time to pray. God began to, I was thinking about that as I was preparing, and I'm like, it was his way of life. It was what he, that was his day. His day was at this time I go to pray. At this time I go to pray. And at this time I go to pray. Think about that, how that would affect today in our life if we were that faithful to God. Just to pray once a day, to be that faithful, that this time throughout my day is the time that I go and I talk to God. So much so that it becomes ingrained in me and it's just part of my day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Basically, that means I just continually talk to God. There's nothing mystical about it. It just means that I talk to him throughout my day. So we've talked about the necessity to pray. We've talked about the consistency of prayer. So why is it that we don't do it? I know this is hard questions. I think that a lot of times that we don't approach God because we're made to feel unworthy. You say, well, I'm a child of God. How can I? You really be honest with yourself? If I be honest with me, there's times in my life when I don't feel worthy to talk to Him. There's times that I know in my mind that I went against Him and I just assume avoid Him. Do you remember when you were kids? You remember being a kid? I know for some of us, that's been a long time. But do you remember being a kid and going against your mom and dad? And knowing that when you were going to have to go home, and you were going to have to face your dad and your mom, at some point you were going to have to go home. And you avoided going home. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. You avoided going home because you didn't want to have the conversation with mom and dad about what happened. You knew that they were already waiting on the porch with the light on. You were hoping that if I just stay out just long enough, Brother Worthen, they'd get tired and go to bed. It never happens. You knew eventually I got to go home. They knew they didn't have to chase you down. They knew they didn't have to go looking for you. Because eventually you were coming home. And eventually you were going to have to talk to them about what was going on and why you were avoiding them. I think we do God the same way. We want to avoid Him at all costs sometimes. When realistically, if we just go and take it before Him, He's not standing there as a heavy taskmaster waiting to give you your licks for the day because you disappointed. Moralistically, He's there waiting with mercy in His hand saying, child of mine, come to me. Let me take the heavy load off of you. Let me mend the wounds in your heart. I can take care of this. How do you talk to God? How do you talk to God? After all, He is the master of the universe. How do you speak to the master, the one who knows all? That knows the very intents, the thoughts of your heart, your mind. Just like you would talk to your best friend. Talk to Him just like you would talk to your wife, your husband. It's really that simple. It's really that much of a conversation. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I think sometimes we allow our past to dictate our futures. In fact, I know I have done so in my own life. I've allowed my mistakes that I made yesterday to affect the things that I will do today. I've allowed the things that I did yesterday to affect my conversation with God that I'll have today. When God's saying, if you'll just put that over here, come into my presence, have a conversation with me. I've learned something recently. Brother Raymond Woodward, phenomenal pastor in Canada. He's in our UPCI. our fellowship. Phenomenal man of God. Puts out a lot of videos, a lot of YouTube preaching. We do actually use a lot of his teaching in some of our holiness stuff that we use. He talks about prayer. Talks about your prayer personality. I would advise you to go look that up. Prayer personality. It would help you a lot to understand where you fit at. Because the enemy, it's like this. The enemy, if the less you know about yourself and the less you know about how to pray or how to talk to God, gives him more ability to poke at you and attack you. The more comfortable you are with talking to God about yourself and about him, gives less place for the devil. You realize that you can go to God and you can talk to him about anything. Anything. No matter how small or how great it is. You can tell him that you're mad at him. You can tell him that you're mad at your wife, your husband. You can tell him about your day. And he's okay with that. He's okay with that. He said, well, that sounds so simple and so far beneath God. Sounds so small to take to him. When you think about it, everything is small things to him. He created us. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the world into existence. Everything is small to him. If it's bothering you, if it's concerning you, it's concerning him. If you'll just take it to him, I promise he'll listen. So the next time that you feel anxious, the next time that you feel uncertain, and by all means, you can call the ministry team anytime you need to. But I challenge you this one challenge. Call God first. Just once. Call him first. Before, just to try it. What do you got to lose? You can still call the pastor. You still call the associate pastors. But what do we have to lose if we go to him first? Our pastor will be, I'm finished, I finished within time. How about that? Our pastor will be home this weekend. I meant to mention this. This has nothing to do with my message. I meant to mention it Sunday, and I lost track. And I know that this is the B group only, but if you'll help me get the word out to the A group and everybody else, I'd appreciate it. We're still doing the pastor appreciation account that we have set up within our church books to allow us just to, as throughout the year, to put money away so that we can honor him for him and Sister Hawkins both for their anniversary, their birthdays, and the Mother's Day and Father's Day and pastor appreciation, that type of stuff. So just a plug for that. If you want to, you can still do it online. You can put your money in online. If you do it online, print the receipt out and put it in an envelope, give that to Sister Shelley or put it in the basket here so that we know what it goes to so they can be marked correctly. But he's coming home this weekend. I've talked to him a few times. He's had a good time. They're doing good. But we need to pray for him. Right now is a very tricky time for our church. Not that anything bad's happening. It's just right now with the transition of mask and no mask and all this thing that's happening, the enemy would love nothing more than to shut the church down. He would love nothing more for you to go home and say, I'm just going to stay home. He would love nothing more than for you just to stay home and watch online. And if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But if you can be here, you need to be here with your brothers and sisters. because I need to see you, you need to see me, and we need to see each other here and amongst one another. So continue to pray for him as he navigates, and we're working with him and helping, trying to get the navigation through. But I believe God's going to do a great work. Amen. I believe that he's doing an unprecedented work in this nation right now. You say, well, I don't agree with all the politics. You don't have to agree with the politics. You just need to pray that God begins to do the work in this nation, in our church, in our city. Amen. Will you stand with me? Will you put your hands together one more time? Let the Lord know that you love him tonight. Lord, we love you tonight, Jesus. We magnify you, oh God. We give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we magnify you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Let me pray over you tonight as you go. Lord, we give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for this great people that showed up here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless their families this week. I pray, Lord, that you would send them to the hungry, Lord, those that are thirsty, those that are looking for you, that are looking for them, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give them authority, you give them the understanding that they need. Lord, give them the boldness to talk to those that are hungry and to bring them into the fold in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, according to your word, that you will bless your people this week in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You're dismissed. I think we're thin enough that you can dismiss. Are you okay with dismissing altogether? You're good? Go ahead. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. I just about said shake hands and be friendly. That's how close we are to that.